Yes, happy Friday to you. Last sip of coffee for me before we get cranked up here on Four Quarter Friday, presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. We are covering the state of South Carolina from Bluffton to Blue Ridge, Seneca to Somerville, everything in between. What is happening in our state? Well, I can tell you about three things quickly. The Pirates of ECU have been raiding the Palmetto State for some of the football talent. We'll get to that in just a little bit. We've got a big-time basketball injury to tell you about. And, perhaps most importantly, Andrew Baxley's off-season mustache. The off-season mustache in full effect for Andrew Baxley, Prep Hoops, South Carolina. And if you didn't know, you know, it's hard to. You have to be following Andrew the way that we do. There's a lot of basketball action that's been happening the last couple of weeks, including major injury news to tell you about. So here we are in the HD Law Studios. That is Rob Williams. I'm Matt Smith. Andrew will bring you right in. Tell us, how have you been doing? And I didn't know you were going to be this busy between like June 8th and June 26th in the summertime.
Ed. So busy. June is by far my busiest month of the year. So the reason for it is they call it the scholastic period. So this month is essentially an open period for high schools to play games, practice, go to camps, and it's pretty much something every day. All the weekends are full. Pretty much as soon as I'm done with you guys, I'm driving down to Atlanta. We've got it's the GBCA, so the Georgia Basketball Coaches Association. They're hosting what they call the Southeast Live. So there'll be teams from South Carolina. I think we have 12 South Carolina teams. There's teams from Georgia, North Carolina, Alabama, Florida. And it's honestly one of the biggest recruiting weekends of the year. So there were a lot of offers handed out to South Carolina guys this week, last week, the week before. But the best of the best will be seeing a lot more recruiting updates coming in through this week. But it's busy, but it's a lot of basketball, and that's what I love. So happy to talk about it with you guys.
Yeah, dude, it's good. It's good to have you on again and kind of get into it. You know, last week you were in North Augusta at the South Carolina team, live team period, and we looked at what some of those teams are shaping into already. It's interesting, right? We had some moving pieces in the offseason like we have in every sport at the high school level these days. I'm just interested to see who it is for you that's kind of standing out. And we can start in those 2027s. We've teased this 2028 class. We know what's coming up. But let's start in the 27s a little bit, Bax, and we'll see who stood out to you last weekend. And I'm in Atlanta right now. I'll high-five you on the interstate because I'm about to drive back. So we'll just kind of pass each other on the way.
Nice. Yeah, well, it's an important summer for 2027s, especially with – how the transfer portals moved. Like a lot of these guys, a lot of the 10 through 50 in the rankings, they don't really get monitored or talked to or offered until this time of year. So it's extremely important. And I'll start off with some transfers who are going to be really important. The first one that comes to mind is Deshaun Sanders, who's transferring from High Point, where he played for a state championship the last 2 years. He's going to Burns, athletic 6'7" guy. And it's someone who can really protect the rim for Burns. And that's something they really haven't had either with Colt Fowler or before with Will Fowler. Like they've always just been run and gun, and it's been like 90 to 80 every game. But now they have a guy, Deshaun Sanders, who can protect the rim. He's also athletic enough to be a lob threat. And when you give Colt Fowler a lob threat, it's over for you. So to kind of upgrade what Burns can do offensively, but also really, really take their defense to a next level. That's going to be super special. Staying in 5A, Hunter McGraw. He's a guy who played for Gray Collegiate 2 years ago. He transferred to Dynamic Prep in Texas to play for Jermaine O'Neal last year. He's back with Gray Collegiate right now here in June, and they look like they're certainly going to be a state championship contender, and Hunter McGraw is playing like one of the best players in the state. Some guys who have kind of stayed at their school and maybe stepped into a bigger role. One of the guys who comes to mind first is Tristan Anderson at North Augusta. If you remember last year with North Augusta, they had a lot of seniors like Jordan Rouse and Toya Nabriet. But Tristan Anderson is a guy who was kind of a role player, but he's as talented as those guys were before. He just played his role last year. And now it's going to be his team. And he had an excellent weekend in Augusta 2 weekends ago. And he's going to be a guy who's going to be one of the highest scorers in the state this year.
Andrew Baxley joining us, Prep Hoops South Carolina. Reminder, we'll talk more about this in just a little bit, that fourquarterfriday.com is on the way, because I'm taking notes right here, and we're going to be in touch with Andrew, and we'll try to share information with him the more that he sees. We want to bring it to you at fourquarterfriday.com. Of course, you got a great site, and it's all up there already, Prep Hoops South Carolina. I want to ask Andrew about something that Rob told me, or I learned from Rob this morning. Justin Vining, Fox Creek, has an ACL injury, and here's a player, a lot of expectations, obviously, for him, and he's going to miss his senior year. Can you go into what that means for him and maybe like the region at large? Now, does that open up the region?
Yeah, so it's really, really unfortunate, because Vining was one of the best point guards in the state, and last year helped lead Fox Creek to that 3A state championship game. They even reloaded. They brought in Aiden Walls from Horse Creek, which is just up the road there in Aiken, and they were looking like, through the first 2 weeks, one of the best teams in the state, not just in 4A now. So to lose their point guard and Vining, it happened a week or a couple of days before they went to North Augusta, and North Augusta is a live period, which means there would be college coaches there, and they were certainly going to be some to watch Vining, but it happened up at Ridgeview and one of these play dates. He just had a awkward fall. He tried to go through it on Saturday in Augusta, tried, couldn't. Then they went in for an MRI. At first, they kind of thought it was just going to be a sprained MCL. Then the results of the MRI came back, and they said it was a torn ACL. So really, really unfortunate news for Justin. I know he's a great kid, and a lot of people around the state were really rooting for him this year. But kind of what it means for Fox Creek is the ball is going to be in Kobe Sims' hands. And Kobe Sims is an amazing scorer. He's so gifted shooting the three, getting to the mid-range, getting to the rim. So it's going to open up the door for him. It's going to be even more responsibility for Aiden Wall. Some of the young guys are going to have to step off the bench, like a Dalton Bennett, like a Landon Carpenter. But what it kind of means for the state is I still think that Fox Creek is going to have a chance to play for a state championship. That doesn't mean that they're not going to miss Justin, but they're going to have time to kind of fill in that role. Maybe a short Sheik White will be able to play some defense and just really lock down that point guard position, or maybe Kobe Sims will just really take his game to the next level. And I think that they're still going to be one of the top teams to beat in 4A.
I should probably unmute over here as the producer of the show. I should learn how to do that. Next time I hear Jamie say something smitty to Phil on ITG, I'm gonna have to shout it out that I just did that too. Okay. Great transition, Andrew, there into the team discussion, because in addition to all of these players, we really want to look at, you know, who are the contenders going to be? You've got a chance to see some of this. We talked about transfer portal. We talked about new guys stepping up. We know that chemistry is such a big part of this game and kind of putting these teams together and making a deeper run. What are you seeing in terms of teams that stick out so far over the course of the summer that you say, yeah, that's going to be one you have to look out for? You know, for me, you mentioned Fox Creek and you mentioned Burns. Obviously, Ridgeview is always going to be in this discussion, but the one that I've had my eyes on recently is the Keenan team that's got a couple of up-and-coming guys that are really going to make some noise for Zach Norris over there. Who stands out for you just looking across the state?
Yeah, Keenan is in 2A. It's definitely going to be theirs to lose. They've been in 3A the past 2 years, and they've been easily one of the best teams, including winning a state championship. But to kind of go on the flip side of that, the injury, there's two guys who really come to mind who are coming back from injury this year, who are going to take their teams to the next level. The first one is James Island and Bryce Ward. This will actually be Bryce's first time playing for James Island. He was at Cathedral Academy. The ski's a 2A school. He won two state championships there, missed last year with an ACL injury. But Bryce's teams just win, whether it's in Skeeza with Cathedral or whether it's AAU. He's probably about to lead his team to a Peach Jam appearance. He's been one of the best players in the state, regardless of class, regardless of position this month. He's just so explosive, so dynamic, and his three ball is just going to a whole nother level. They also have a 6'9 sophomore, Jeremiah Triplin, who's one of the top 25 players in the nation, a shooter who protects the rim at 6'9. You don't find those around. So James Island in 5A, you talk about Burns, Ridgeview, Gray, but I think one of those teams who doesn't have the buzz around them right now, who will in March, is James Island. And then another one, Irmo, they bring a lot back from last year. They get Caleb Copeland back from injury. He's been so effective in the games I've watched them. Kyrie White is going to take a jump from his freshman year to his sophomore year. And then they have excellent guards like Christian Brown and Tanner McRae. I really think that if I had to pick right now, Irmo would probably be my pick in 4A lower state.
Ooh, all right. Andrew Baxley, early shots here on the Leading Edge guest line. But, you know, Irmo's one of those programs. We'll get back to this. This is what we'll do on fourquarterfriday.com. Kind of like, you know, we were talking about Andrew, like in a Commissioner's Cup, who's good across multiple sports. And you're just talking about Irmo and James Island, who have certainly had really nice athletic years, like in the last academic calendar. You know, we've looked a lot at realignment, Andrew, but because football is first on the fall and it will be the first time we get to see these new regions in action, that's where our focus has been. But as you're talking, I just realized Gray Collegiate and Ridgeview are now in the same region. So that's loaded. And then Burns moves over to the Greenville region, which kind of eases things, I think, on like the middling teams in region 2-5A that are like, right. Great, we don't have like Burns, Dorman, Spartanburg back-to-back-to-back. So as you look across at how these new regions play out, I mean, start there, Gray Collegiate and Ridgeview now going head-to-head. I mean, get your popcorn, try to get your tickets now. That's going to be a war every time they meet.
Yeah, I have notifications on for their schedule drops, and I will be marking it right away. But another one is one we've kind of talked about, Fox Creek and North Augusta. They're also in the same region, and those are two of the most difficult places to play and two in a city that's basketball crazy. Greenville and Westwood both moving down to 4A is going to be pretty interesting. They're obviously in different regions. One's in Greenville, one's in Columbia, but those are two teams that played each other for a state championship last year. Now they're both, well, I guess 4A is the 7-region classification, so that region 4 might be split, but it's a chance that they're in both an upper state next year. Keenan, like we mentioned, down to 2A. And you guys probably have the better answer for me, but what are they doing with 1A? Is it going to be divisions like 5A was? Because I know there's a ton of teams in 1A, and when you're kind of watching these teams, it's kind of hard to really track who's going to be good and who's going to be in that first division, who's going to be in that second division playing for a state championship.
Rob, you take that. They are going to do divisions, right? They've decided, but I don't know how the split is. Is it happening until they determine the playoff teams, or is it happening beforehand? Will it be beforehand the way it was last year in 5A?
I haven't gotten word on how exactly what the timeline is on that. I do know, I agree. Yes, Smitty, like, they are going to do divisions. But actually, that makes perfect sense to me too, kind of in the way that you're looking at it. It's a little difficult to kind of parse through and figure out how they're going to land. But the biggest thing for me is when we shifted around, you mentioned kind of some teams moving down a level when we shifted around these classifications last year across all sports, and we're going to see it here in basketball as well. There's going to be opportunities for teams to really make a name for themselves. That kind of shifted down a level. You think about like you mentioned Keenan, a team last year that elevated, like a Mountain View Prep last year that went from year one to year two in the school's history, kind of bringing that program up. I'm looking at who else across the state shifted down a level that may be something that's gonna pop for us here on the basketball court. All right, Andrew, let's turn the page here really quickly, and we'll get you out of here to 2028. Lots of top national players in this 2028 class. Keenan has two in that top 7, I believe. Ridgeview has a couple of guys in the top 5. Talk to us a little bit about what it means for the state of South Carolina to kind of be on the map. It's a little bit of a stronger year in 2028 than the 2027 class nationally.
Yeah, the 2028 class is loaded, and last Monday at midnight was the first time that college coaches were allowed to contact the class of 2028, and it resulted in a ton of offers. Most notably, South Carolina offered a few guys in the 2028 class: Antoine Kaufman at Keenan, C.J. Moore at Ridgeview, R.J. Davis at Ridgeview, and Caleb Allen, who transferred from T.L. Hanna to Christ Church. Allen's name has been hot. He also got Virginia Tech and Furman. Kaufman is going to be one of the top players in the country. He might push into the top 20 nationally. He also got offers from Mississippi State and Georgia Tech, so they'll for sure, no doubt, be there watching him in Atlanta this weekend. Bryce Wiersma's another guy at T.L. Hanna. He's got a ton of mid-major buzz. He got Wofford. He got Furman. Coastal Carolina is always a team that recruits the state extremely well. They had their team camp. Jamel McKinley got offered at their team camp. He's another 2028 at Cane Bay. So the 2028 class is extremely talented. We've also already had a couple guys leave the state, like Jermier Nelson from Fort Mill to Carmel Christian. He's got some buzz. He's got like a High Point offer, a UNC Greensboro offer, stuff like that. So a 2028 class has a chance to be really, really good here from South Carolina.
We've got Andrew Baxley here from Prep Hoops South Carolina. Andrew, thank you so much for being here with us. We're going to get you on the road to Atlanta, and I'm excited to talk to you over the course of the weekend and into next week. We'll kind of recap a little bit of what you're seeing. Sad that I can't stick around and pull up a chair beside you on the bleachers there, but we're looking forward to what you do, what you had to say this weekend. Great work, as always, and we appreciate you being with us.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Ant-Man. Vax is the best. And Rob, as we go to break here, and we'll turn our focus to football a little bit, and recruiting some of the great players from our state that are either getting looks, getting more offers, getting more interest, or have said, hey, I want to make my commitment before my senior season in this way that we can see them on the gridiron this fall, knowing exactly what colors they'll wear when they move on to college. But Rob, what's the over under on the Andrew Baxley mustache making it until we see him in person at some games in November?
I'm taking it.
Is it going to be there?
I'm taking it. I think he's rocking it. I think it looks good.
It does look good. It does. So you got the over on how many months it makes it.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know where the over under is, but I'm taking the over, whatever it is. I think it needs to stick around.
Right. The over is going to be like 5 months. Okay. Because that's, you know, that's when you decide, right, with the facial hair.
Is this, you know, is this now who I am? Or was this?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Is this a part of who I am? Is this part of, you know, how you get up every morning and you've got, you know, you have your money clip, your phone, your keys, your pocket knife, whatever your, the EDC they call it. Yeah, AirPods. Your AirPods for you. That's it. You know, that's part of your everyday carry. Maybe something for in our case, for the daughters, you know, you got like a little bag that's got more stuff.
On my wrist. Yeah.
That's it. And then the mustache, that's part of like the everyday carry now for Andrew Baxley. He carries it every day.
Yep.
That's his pocket knife. Okay. That's his charm. All right. Love him.
Funny enough, he dropped out of backstage right before we started that conversation. So I'll make sure to send him a text that he needs to go back and listen while he's on the road.
Yes, but Bax is the best, and that was great information. And I love we will do that all throughout the summer. I think one of the fun things would be, Rob, is going back and glancing, as you said, it maybe who dropped down, because sometimes you can. We've been looking at this through the prism of football, and you might see somebody that struggled in 5A or 4A, and then they come down to 3A. Okay, expect them to play better, but sometimes that's a basketball power. Sometimes that's a team that performs really well in baseball or some of the Olympic sports. And it's like, oh no, what do you do? Why are you loading them up in our, but you know, right now the fall sports are where our focus has been. And that's where our focus is going to be in the second quarter when we come back to Four Quarter Friday, because we have had some players that have either announced their commitments. And Rob also has some insight about players perhaps that are getting renewed interest from some teams that we care about, and we care about every high school player and high school team in this state. So we'll dig into that when we come back. FourQuarterFriday.com launches the next couple of weeks. Four Quarter Friday on YouTube is happening now. This Quarter Friday, Matt Smith and Rob Williams here with you. I promised a little football talk. One more time, our thanks to Andrew Baxley for joining us from Prep Hoops, South Carolina, via the Leading Edge guest line. Now, wherever we are, we're in the HD Law studios, although, as Rob mentioned, Rob is in the Empire of the South, the ATL, baby.
I'm in HD Law Studios South, and a big shout-out to – thank you to Bill Maloney, Farm Bureau, presenting that first quarter there with Andrew Baxley. Always a great first quarter from Farm Bureau and Bill Maloney. Anything that you need in terms of insurance coverage across the state of South Carolina, Bill Maloney's got you covered. He will get you covered like you are a part of his family. That's what he's been doing with me for the past decade. In just about every region, Smitty, I've got everything covered except for Grand Strand and the Charleston Lowcountry area. I think the rest of the state I've pretty much covered, and he's had me taken care of everywhere. So we appreciate that for sure. You guys can find him as always at Farm Bureau or at 803-637-6246. Again, that's 803-637-6246. All right, Smitty. Let's hit the football field, right?
Absolutely. And let me start here. So I made the comment as we opened up that the Pirates are raiding the state of South Carolina. And that's East Carolina. And look, that's not new. East Carolina has always recruited this state. And for me, I've always looked at ECU as one of those programs. I think historically, because they've played a wide open style, they can come into South Carolina and turn the heads of players that are dynamic wide receivers or quarterbacks perhaps that want to play early because they're not afraid to play young quarterbacks either at East Carolina, and also play in a system that will get you ready for the NFL because, I mean, dating back, Jeff Blake and David Garrard and many others have come out of ECU and gone on to successful NFL careers. So, you know, they can put that, you know, when you go walk through at East Carolina, that's what they can put up there. And four players already from the state of South Carolina have committed to play football at East Carolina. So I was just going to get your thoughts on those. Rob, I've got them listed here if we want to go over them. But I just thought that was interesting that ECU has had, again, not just come down here and not been in the mix on some of these highly touted recruits from South Carolina, but they've landed them. They've got commitments from four players.
Yeah, I think that the general South Carolina sports fan, Smitty, probably is, you know, and you guys, we've had some action over here in the chat box today. Feel free to jump in here and tell me your thoughts. Shout out to Timothy and to Craig, to Roger over there. Roger's a Woodruff guy, talking about Woodruff and Clinton now in the same region, which I'm sure we'll talk about at some point. Oh. But, you know, we in the state of South Carolina care about the high school and high schools around us where we live or maybe where we grew up or maybe for, like, if you're like me, you have a region that you grew up in or an area you grew up in, and then you move to another one and then maybe move to a third one. So there's multiple parts of the state that you're watching. And then when Saturdays come around, the general sports fan is watching either Garnet or Orange on Saturday. However, Smitty, we will continue to remind everybody about so much quality football that's happening beyond that scope. East Carolina is a great example, okay? And they're coming in and they are taking quality players from the state of South Carolina. I think Coastal has been another one this week that's been really, really making some noise. But when you look at these guys that are committed to East Carolina, they're not unknowns by any stretch. James Porter at Dorman is the one that probably jumps out the most to me because I did have one assistant tell me that he's the best defensive lineman in the upstate, if not the whole state, in the 2027 class. I think he's just a little underrated, a little undersized. But if you look at his tape, you can see what's going on there. I was able to see him in the spring with Dorman there at one of their live practice events for spring practice, and the hype is there. The hype, and he backs it up when he's on the field. So one that really stands. I'll be watching that one this year for sure during the season as he continues to develop. Some of these, you know, recruiting is interesting, Smitty, because nothing's ever a done deal. And this is not a shot at East Carolina or at these young men who have committed to play there. I think that they can go and make a name for themselves with the Pirates. But we also know that sports is a game of levels and climbing ladders these days, especially whether you're in the high school ranks or the college ranks. The transfer portal has made it easy to kind of jump from one rung to the next. And we understand these rungs exist. So if these sevens that are committed to East Carolina continue to elevate in their senior season, I could see them before pen goes to paper, you know, getting some bigger offers. Or do they go to East Carolina and ball out as a freshman or a sophomore and then use that to jump to the next rung? We'll see what happens there. But definitely James Porter is one that sticks out to me. Xavier Means, quarterback at Northwestern, I know is one as well, who is not going to play quarterback, to my knowledge, but it's just a supreme athlete. Paige Wofford has so many good things to say about him, and I'm excited to see kind of what that looks like. It's not that far away to ride over to Greenville. It's kind of out there. It's a little bit of an outpost, but it's not. But it is close enough to where state of South Carolina fans and alums can get up the road and see the Pirates play.
Absolutely, and that's why I said that it's just one of those schools that's always recruited the state hard. And I just wanted to mention, you know, Ethan Singletary, you know, Irmo, as you said, to me, 10-6-9-100.
I'll tell you about Ethan Singletary. I've been over to Irmo practice to watch this kid. And the first thing that sticks out to me is when I've gone to Irmo, he's the first one on the field. And he is just an incredible young man in general. Very respectful, very helpful. When you're showing up, he's engaging. But when you watch him play, there's a quiet confidence and a smirk on his face. Mm-hmm. He is silky smooth, and he's got the speed. That receiving core in general for the Yellow Jackets there at Irmo is going to be fast, fast, fast across the board. Watch out for the speed. Not to mention Ty Phillips in the background, Alabama commit. So in the backfield. Yeah, Singletary is one that is one to watch. I think Smitty to make some noise and continue to get some attention beyond East Carolina.
All right, now let me mention this quickly too, because, and by the way, I don't want to let that go. You said it's Timothy in the chat that's talking about Woodruff and Clinton now being in the same region.
It was Roger.
Roger, yeah. I'm sorry, Roger. Man, I might see you there. Sign me up for that. Yeah. That's like shades of Willie Varner and Keith Richardson, those two programs, those two towns, that history colliding on a field, Woodruff and Clinton. I love every part of it. I love that Woodruff, that kind of murky maroon that Woodruff wears. You know, they love to wear it too. They love to wear it, you know, the dark with just the gold accents, and Clinton, they put that red right in front of you. I love every part of that game.
Well, you know, I think everybody knows Aiden Gibson, but you might not know Curtis Bell, who's going to be an offensive weapon for Woodruff as well. And you might not know Makai McClintock, but he just committed to Florida Atlantic this week. He's listed as a tight end, Smitty. I've watched him practice. I've watched him play. He was at Malden last year. He's not he doesn't look like a typical tight end. This is a pass catching tight end. He is built really well, has an excellent frame, and he's very, very smooth in the routes as well. So excited to see what Woodruff does. Loaded on offense. They've got the weapons.
All right, so I wanted to bring this up because you were also talking about, so now I'm going to go back to what you said about Ethan Singletary and Irmo and how many athletes they have all over the field. Okay. For the first time in, I don't know, 15, 20 years, I don't know how far back this goes, South Aiken and Irmo are now going to be in the same region with each other. So now you have a player in Kyson McLeod who I don't think we've touched on much. 6'4", 205. I know you reported on Kyson McLeod from South Aiken, who's got another year there with the Thoroughbreds, committing to Appalachian State. He did that a couple of weeks ago, and that was part of our morning minute. But I was watching some film, and I'm telling you, big-time deep threat. So Irmo's got athletes. South Aiken has Kyson McLeod. I have to learn more about what the Thoroughbreds have, but he's a three-sport athlete. He's committed to Appalachian State, another school that is famous for coming into the state of South Carolina and getting big-time ball players. Hello, Armani Edwards. And they got another good one in Kyson McLeod to commit to them. Big-time deep threat for South Aiken. And I was going to say, what a matchup problem in Region 5-4A for everybody but maybe Irmo that can match him. Now, look, you can't match 6-4 in a defensive backfield. But just so many athletes on the field when they finally lock horns for the first time. I looked it up. That's October 9th, South Aiken and Irmo. And I don't know the relationship, how the people of that, you know, kind of that Aiken area look at Irmo. But to me, Irmo's always cast a bit of a shadow because it's been such a large school for a long time. They were previously in the same region, and now they get back together. So both South Aiken and Aiken will play Irmo this year. And I just wanted to point out Kyson McLeod. I don't know that we've touched on him on this show. I know you've touched on him committing to Appalachian State. But, I mean, everything I watch about him, everything I read about him, I'm so impressed. I want to see him in person.
Well, you mentioned that matchup. We'll just keep going. You know, one thing just rolls into another because Jaden Arrington is the corner in Irmo, 6'2", 175, committed to North Carolina Central this week. That might be your matchup, Smitty. You know, not only does Irmo have the talent at the wide receiver position, their assistants that I talked to said, hey, we have a lot of confidence in the secondary this year. Arrington is just one of a few back there. And, you know, in order to throw the ball deep to Kyson McLeod or to anybody that's playing Irmo, you're going to need a little bit of time, and that means blocking Jaden Bryant. So we'll see how any team fares against that group. I do think that Irmo at that level might be a problem for everybody.
Right. I agree. Because it just seems like every week there's another player that we talk about, you know, that you mentioned, well, you know, he's getting interest from here or now, or this player from Irmo has recently committed to this college football program. So it's just, that's going to be an issue. Some other players I wanted to, you know, talk to you about, but certainly we bring up, and I love, we got it going in the chat a little bit as well. I don't know. I thought Seth Tillman, I better not say what I was going to say out loud because it can be clipped. Let me just put it this way. Seth Tillman, South Point defensive tackle. What do you know? I just found out, according to the information that I've got, what I'm reading, this is available to everybody. He's down to some big time names, Clemson, Georgia, and Michigan. So is that where we are with Seth Tillman? Again, South Point defensive tackle, a really proud program up there in South Point, turning out another big time recruit.
Yeah, and it's interesting with Tillman too. The Michigan thing is just kind of lingering around. There's some smoke for sure. I think that they impressed him on the official visit. So we'll see how strong their case is. If I had to put my word on it, my reputation to it, I would say this is a Georgia-Clemson battle. The thing here, Smitty, I think in terms of just usage is that Tillman has a long-term relationship with this Clemson staff. He's been visiting and camping over there since he was a young middle schooler. So he's been there time and time again. He knows these guys. There's a high comfort level. But it's Georgia, and he fits what they like to do from a body type perspective, from a position standpoint, just in their scheme. You know, he really wants to be that three technique. That's been the word that I've gotten from Tillman directly. So I just kind of think that the way that he fits in what Kirby Smart likes to do, it makes a very strong case for Georgia, not to mention Georgia's track record, especially as of late. I think Georgia's going to be one of the – this is not a college football show. If you want that, tune into SEC Sunday Night on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. But I think Georgia has a chance to be one of the top two or three teams in the country this year, and that's not going to hurt when you're recruiting somebody like Seth Tillman. Clemson, on the other hand, I think will be good, but are they top five nationally? I don't see that right now. So those types of things continue to play into it. I know that, excuse me, Tillman's going to make a decision, but like I said earlier, recruiting is only as good as it is only as sure as the pen to paper. And we don't have that until December, Smitty, when we get to the signing period. So you may see some decisions made. We've talked about this with some in-state prospects already. Will they stick with these commitments, or will there be teams locally that can get it done? So in the case of Georgia and Clemson, they're both pretty close. So if he goes one way, I would still look out for the other one to continue to push.
And obviously you can see Seth Tillman, I mean, a big-time recruit. They've got Nation Ford coming to – they will host Nation Ford August 28th. I don't know if they've got a week zero game or not, but, oh, well, here you go. How about this? South Point, you knew this was coming, but back-to-back, South Point, a 4A program right now, at Rock Hill, of course, that's right there in town, so we don't worry about District 3 Stadium and all that. You don't worry about where they go, but it's South Point versus Rock Hill, September 11th, and then they get a week off before it's South Point versus Northwestern, the defending champs, the big bully on the block right now in Football City, USA. So that's quite, you know, that's churning it out, and then it's Clover and Indian Land in region play right after that. So not easy, but it's a great time. If you live in the area or just want to drive a little bit to get to Rock Hill, go up 77, get to Rock Hill from where you are. I wouldn't mind seeing South Point. And again, those athletes, Seth Tillman and South Point, they've got some others taking on Northwestern or Rock Hill. Sign me up for that one too.
I mean, South Point's always got those athletes, and it's not, and like you said, it's not just Seth Tillman. It is bigger than that. You have state championship defenses happening with South Point and Northwestern in that region. We've talked at length about what Rock Hill is doing. And
You say in that region, you mean that part of the state? Because
that's right.
That area, now that's right. We used to, but now we don't have them all in the same region.
Correct. In that area, we know what Rock Hill's doing. You mentioned Clover as well, though. Bennett Schweigert comes over from Hillcrest. I was able to see them at Shane Beamer 7-on-7. And if, you know, it's 7-on-7, so you need to add the lines of scrimmage, but definitely dynamic from an athletic standpoint. And Clover was able to cut through the competition there in Columbia fairly easily. And I think there's some confidence. You can see how Coach Swigert just kind of carries himself moving over, like I said, from Hillcrest. I'll be interested to see what that Clover team does. Does it jump big time in year one? Does it take him 2 years to get it going? But I do think that that's one to watch, Smitty.
And by the way, last, you talk about giving some flowers. How about this from South Point last year? They ran the gauntlet early in the season, non-region play. They took down Rock Hill, West Charlotte, and Northwestern in succession last season on their way to a 14-1 record. And of course, as you said, the state championship. That's impressive. To me, that's beyond impressive to do what they did. Rock Hill, West Charlotte, and Northwestern in succession last year.
No doubt about it. And you're led, obviously, last year by Jazavian Currents at the quarterback position and at the safety position. Now he is Gamecock in Columbia, so you'll be replacing that quarterback spot, which will always be an interesting discussion until we see it on the field. But if we know anything about Bobby Collins, it's that he's going to go out there and be ready to hit somebody in the mouth from a team standpoint, just like he did last year in that gauntlet of a three-game non-region starter. So we'll see what they're ready to do, but we know that South Point won't be out there to back down. That's not the MO that you kind of get with the Stallions.
And, this is something we'll do. We'll cover on fourquarterfriday.com as well. We, on this show and, of course, on the website that we'll launch coming up, we've got, you know, the soft date of July 1st is going to be around there, but don't worry. It's going to ramp up. It's going to be ready. You're going to have plenty of time before football season to come join us at fourquarterfriday.com, and we're going to not just be sharing our thoughts and our information. We're going to be getting in touch with coaches and everybody that is involved with high school athletics in our state and bring that and put as much of that out there on there for you at fourquarterfriday.com. and we'll stir it up. We'll have a message board and all sorts of things that we're going to present. We're getting more and more information as the days roll by. But the reason I wanted to dig into some of those games, I love those matchups, is because another thing that we're going to do is just on Friday nights, come join us. You know, we've got the Chief Sports app. We want you to come be a part of the message boards. We're going to share scores, share what we're seeing, share what everybody, you know, our phones light up on Friday nights about, oh, I like Seth Tillman. You won't believe the play Seth Tillman just made. And we're going to be sharing all of that with you across fourquarterfriday.com. But I wanted to bring that up because I just think that's, you know, I'm also trying to work in my mind where I'm going to be. And yeah, South Point Northwestern seems like somewhere I might be. Also, listen, we've got to take one more break, but I wanted to mention this to you as well, Rob, because I know we got two Rosses, unrelated, I believe, right? James Ross from Ridgeview, offensive lineman, 6'5", 290. Word is very athletic. Again, this is something you reported on, so he's coming back another year at Ridgeview, but he's committed to South Carolina. He is, to my mind, my knowledge, correct me if I'm wrong, the first player from inside the state of South Carolina to commit in the 27 class for the Gamecocks and Shane Beamer from right there at Ridgeview.
Yeah, and this is a kid I went out there and I met with Derek Howard months ago, and this is the first name that he says when I'm saying, who are we watching out for? And obviously you kind of know about James Ross. He sticks out on that line of scrimmage for the Blazers. Then I got out at the end of spring camp to kind of watch him, and putting eyes on him is like I said, he kind of jumps when you're looking at that roster and you're looking at that line of scrimmage. The size is there. You listed it just a moment ago, and his feet move really well. But then, Smitty, it was the offensive line, defensive line camp there at the facility in Columbia where he really jumped off the page. And I was standing there for those drills, and almost, you know, every coach assistant for South Carolina was standing around watching this. I was standing next to James Ross's dad and kind of having a conversation about where this might go. And you knew this was one that he wanted, Smitty. He's gotten plenty of attention from other schools. James Ross wanted to stay home in Columbia and be a Gamecock, and that got done. I think this is a prospect when you look at in-state schools, whether it's South Carolina or Clemson. And, you know, Clemson has done a good job of recruiting right there around themselves. We've talked about all of the players that are at Daniel that are headed just up the road to play for Dabo Swinney. You look at schools in Columbia, there's more schools around South Carolina than there are around Clemson from a high school standpoint. So when you look at James Ross, I think this is one, Smitty, where there's an in-state Power Four team that goes, yeah, we can't let them get out of the fence. Like, this is part of our backyard, and we've got to make sure we keep this one in the fold. I think that James Ross has an opportunity to really develop into a true SEC football player. We'll just continue to monitor that as he plays for the Blazers this year, and then makes his way just down the road from Hardscrabble to Bluff Road to hang out with the Gamecocks.
I know where you'll be. I know where you'll be. You want to, do you recall who Ridgeview opens with this year? This is where you'll be.
I don't.
It's James Ross, and Ridgeview opens with Dutch Fork.
Oh, yeah. That's an easy one for me.
You'll be there. That's an easy one because you won't want to drive. You say, oh, no, forget it.
Yeah.
Because that's one you'll want to see anyway. So the pass rushers for Dutch Fork against James Ross of Ridgeview. And Ridgeview anticipates being good again this year. You know, they were good last year. Not a state championship contender last year, but very good football team. And Dutch Fork, of course, going for its fifth consecutive state title.
Well, you know, the thing about Ridgeview last year is that Trey Howard, their quarterback, coach's son, went down with an injury. And that kind of derailed what a lot of other coaches around the state have told me would have been a state championship contender in Ridgeview. Now, he's back, and he has full command of that offense. One thing that is concerning for Ridgeview is the schedule, because it starts with Dutch Fork, but it does not let up. It continues to – it is tough. It is tough. And I'll say this, as you know, from an outsider's perspective, it is rough. But yes, the matchup for sure, James Ross against whether it's Jaden Wirth or Peyton Bishop coming off one side or the other for Dutch Fork, he will have his hands full. But I've seen him in action. I think that's going to be a great matchup to start the season off. Looking forward to it for sure, Smitty. You pinned it. I'm going to block it off right now. That's where I'll be.
I know. I just think that's a gimme for you. All right, we got to take one more break. Hey, when we come back, we're going to get Rob's thoughts as well on another Ross, Jackson Ross, who if you are tuned in, if you're subscribed to us at Four Quarter Friday, you heard the update on Jackson Ross from Hammond, linebacker from Hammond. It was on our Four Quarter Friday morning minute. We encourage you subscribe to that so you just get a little taste every morning or whenever you want to watch it. I'll save it to my watch later, and then I'm taking the dog on a walk later, and then I check out what Rob has to say. And you can do that as well. Just check it out. Just subscribe to that. Get your notifications, and then of course, we're going to make it all easy for you coming up starting next week with fourquarterfriday.com. But the latest on Jackson Ross from Hammond and his commitment and what their schedule looks like when we close out Four Quarter Friday next. Back on Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chief Sports Network. Matt Smith, Rob Williams closing things out for you here. All right, we definitely want to give you an update on Jackson Ross. And Hammond, Hammond linebacker, really good player, highly recruited. We're going to talk about him. And then, Rob, before we leave, got about 5 minutes, I'm going to give you an underrated player. I'm going to do a diamond in the rough. Maybe this will become a part of fourquarterfriday.com, but I'm going to give you a diamond in the rough after you give us an update on Jackson Ross, Hammond linebacker. They're part of Skeeza right there in the Midlands. So what do you know about Jackson and how he's changed things, his commitment date in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, so his commitment date was set for July 9th, which is his birthday. And Smitty, he's moved that up. So we're going to get a commitment this weekend from Jackson Ross. I think that it'll be Texas Tech or South Carolina would be the final two here. We kind of have Vanderbilt looming out there, but I think that the Red Raiders and the Gamecocks have pulled ahead. You have obviously the connection with South Carolina, as his dad David Ross was a basketball player for the Gamecocks. But Jackson has done a good job of kind of letting this play out and not kind of leaning into, well, I'm right down the road at Hammond and I'm a legacy at South Carolina in the athletic department and so on and so forth. He's really, really taken the entire recruiting process, listened to everything that had to be said. And it's interesting the Texas Tech battles South Carolina has gotten into as of late. A handful of players that stick out in that back and forth. We'll see what happens here with Jackson Ross, but by the time you see us again, we will know. So just keep an eye on the morning minute, and if you miss it this weekend, we'll have you updated next week for sure so that you know what's happening with Hammond linebacker Jackson Ross. This is not, let me just say this too, for anybody who's listening and you think, oh, Hammond is a Skeeza player, so on and so forth. No, this is not just like he's in South Carolina's backyard and he's a legacy type of deal. This is a legitimate power four linebacker. We've seen incredible talent come out of Hammond over the years. Blue chip, four-star, five-star talent coming out of that level. So for those out there that are Skeeza fans, Skeeza alums, Skeeza parents, you know the type of football that is played at that level. If you're not somebody who follows Skeeza sports or football specifically, let me just warn you not to sleep on a Hammond product because Jackson Ross is legit.
And if you're gonna take in a Skeeza game, which we may, I've got one. I've got a suggestion for us. And again, this is right down the road from you. All right, so Hammond and Jackson Ross, that crew, as you said, they have been beating up Heathwood Hall for years, okay? Had won 20 straight games. Last year in the Skeeza 4A playoffs, James Richardson kicked a 22-yard field goal as time expired, and Heathwood Hall beat Hammond for the first time in 20 tries. the game last year during the regular season was 9-7. 9-7, 16-13, Jackson Ross back for revenge. If you're going to take in a Skeezer game, that might be the one. And here's my diamond in the rough, Rob. Let's see. Let's see if we can agree on this. I don't know if you've seen this player, but I've only seen the film, but now I want to see him in person. Taquarius Shannon, Fairfield Central, 6'2", 195, track athlete, sub-11, 100 meters, 16 touchdowns last year, nearly 1,000 yards receiving. He's got offers already from Gardner-Webb, the Citadel, and Erskine. But my editorial on this, I think he could be underrated. I think he's going to break out. And I'm not going to take anything away from, hey, Gardner-Webb and the Citadel in terms of what they do on the football field. Taquarius Shannon, those are great places to play and make your mark. I just think he's going to get more offers coming up this season. He's a 2027 player. As I said, sub-11, 6'2". Everything I see on him, he does like everything in terms of what you want a wide receiver to do, taking the top off, coming out of routes cleanly, making tough grabs, you know, catches in traffic. So all the things they talk about, catch radius and everything else coming out of breaks, I think Shannon's a baller, and I think his offers are going to get larger.
Yet another player that I've been able to see in 7-on-7s here in the summer, Smitty, and the buzz is real. And it's not just – you mentioned everything about him specifically as a player, so I'll kind of shade my comments in the other direction. The coaching community is talking as well. So okay. I think you're right when you say that maybe he's a little underrated and that he's going to get more offers outside of the Citadel and Gardner-Webb at higher level. I mentioned earlier that the reality of it is that there's a ladder here, right? There's rungs to this thing. I think there'll be some offers coming from a little higher rungs than those. And like you said, not to take anything away from those schools, but he's continuing to climb. Definitely one to keep an eye on.
All right. And we've got more. We've got plenty more to talk about, and we'll keep an eye on all of these high school players across our state. We'll continue to pinpoint games that stand out to us. Maybe next week we'll talk about some of the teams that, hey, didn't have the big year last year, but just that Rob is hearing so much about, so many coaches talk about, that could take that next step. And you know we're going to see that. You know we're going to see surprises, teams that go from 4, 5, 6 wins to challenging for a state championship, because we've had coaching movement as well. And you might just get the right marriage, the right coach, the right staff with a group of athletes, and it's lightning in a bottle. And we'll start to pinpoint those teams as we close in on the launch of FourQuarterFriday.com. Rob, final thoughts before we hand it over to Jamie Bradford and Inside the Gamecocks?
Well, I would just say this too, as we get ready for FourQuarterToFriday.com. Some of you are already doing this. Smitty referenced earlier, we can't be at every game. So if you are a fan of a school and you are going to be there every week, week in and week out, make sure you're following us. Send us a DM. Let us know, hey, I'm going to be at, you know, Craig was in our chat earlier, so I'll use him as an example. I'm going to be at North Augusta every Friday night. So if you're able to be down there, I'll let you know. I'll let you know what's going on live and as it's unfolding. We want to make sure that we are highlighting your schools, and part of that means you guys sending us messages or getting in the message board and talking about it, because there's two of us and there's 300 plus schools in the state of South Carolina. So we're going to cover it all, but it is a group effort, and this community will move forward together, Smitty.
Help us help you.
Exactly.
Help us help you. Hey, we love it. We love the chats. Hey, keep it going. Jamie Bradford's got information on Inside the Gamecocks as part of the Chief Sports Network. On the other side of this, Rob, be safe. Love to your daughters. Hope you guys enjoy the ATL. We'll talk to you next week. Hey, and everybody, just stay tuned to us both on X at FourQuarterFridaySC, and also be on the lookout. Go ahead and tab it. We've got a little site up for you right now. Go ahead and bookmark FourQuarterFriday.com. Inside the Gamecocks is next.